Okay, so this evening is a special event. This evening is, it begins the month of Elul, and Elul is the official countdown before we get to the high holidays. So it's the official countdown before Rosh Hashanah, which is really just coming up in a few weeks, and then Yom Kippur, which is that following little over a week later. And so the month of Elul, and then we have this countdown, and then we begin the month of Tishrei. And Tishrei is the month that has, that contains the high holidays in it. It's a 40-day period between Elul and Yom Kippur. I don't have to go into, I don't think, into the significance at this point, because it would be a whole other message, but we've talked about it so often throughout the years because the number 40 and the 40 days and the 40 years comes up so often. But it's a very significant number, and it's one of God's significant numbers, and so we do have 40 days before the beginning of the month of Elul until Yom Kippur. And so Elul is this time of preparation for Rosh Hashanah, which then goes into Yom Kippur, and then we have Sukkot after that. And so they make up our high holidays in the fall. So we have Elul. The name Elul, the actual letters for Elul, it's Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed. Let's put up a slide. Got a couple of things that I want to talk about the actual name Elul. And so here we have the phrase, Ani ledodi vedodi li. I am a beloved and my beloved is mine. This is a very, it's a significant, it's from the Song of Songs, but it's a significant scripture that is used at this time of Elul. And so if we look at the phrase, Ani ledodi vedodi li, the beginning of each of those four Hebrew words make up the acronym of Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed, make up the month Elul. And so there's this wonderful tie in here that it is Elul. It's a time of preparation, but we bring in this word from the Lord that I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. Well, this acronym, and as a matter of fact, in Aramaic, the word alal means search. So we have this sort of loose connection of Elul with the word search. And so we have this relationship of beloved, who was the people of Israel, and the beloved is God. And so here we have this picture of Elul, the relationship between the people and God. And Elul, we have this search, this time of searching, this time of not only searching to have a relationship with God, but it's a time of inner searching in preparation for the high holidays. And so we see that, you know, God has this wonderful way of putting these things together, putting the language together, putting the letters, the very letters of the words together to give us a wonderful picture of what God wants us to understand. Now, let me say that the other day, Diane and I were talking and we realized that the blog that just came out yesterday was about Elul, because of course this is a wonderful time to talk about this. It's very significant, and my message was going to be about Elul, and so we talked about this, and so the idea of searching, she actually goes more into detail in her blog. So go to her website, no, blog site, Facebook, and go to her Facebook page, and you can read her blog, and it's also on the Neshama Facebook page. They put it on there also. So to get a little bit more detail of the understanding of the search and God with God, go to it. It's a really good blog, and I'm not saying it just because Diane is my wife, but I have to say it because she's my wife. But it is. It's a great blog, and so go to it, and you'll enjoy it. All right. So as if it's not enough that the acronym for Ani Ladodi V'Dodi Li is the month of Elul, Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed, if we look at the phrase and we look at the last, and on the bottom I have them in yellow, we look at the last Hebrew letter of each of the four Hebrew words, we have the Yud. You know, in our language it would be sort of like the apostrophe, and we have the Yud in Ani, Ledodi, Vedodi, Li. And each word ends with the Hebrew letter Yud. And the Hebrew letter Yud represents the hand. And so, again, God's hand is in all of this. God's hand is in the relationship. God's hand is in the search. God's hand is here. And so we have, again, a little bit more of that wonderful picture. And although it's not really a bad idea, Elul is a time to begin this process of actually not just looking inside and introspection, but looking out and seeing maybe relationships that you have had with other people that maybe they didn't quite go the way they should be, and maybe it's time to make amends, maybe get that relationship going again in preparation for the high holidays. We want to enter into the high holidays with a good, clean heart if we can. And so this might be a good time to maybe ask forgiveness of people that you have a relationship that hasn't really gone quite right. And so now we need to sort of put this into perspective here. The unbelieving Jewish world really have no assurance. And I was just talking about this morning with someone, but the Jewish world don't really have an assurance of what happens when you die. They don't really know and understand how the process of salvation really works. And the traditional rabbis have put a spin on this, and it gives a false picture of where salvation comes from. Or they don't give a picture at all. And we talked about this morning, how rabbis, particularly at funerals, they don't talk about heaven. They don't talk about salvation. They want to keep away from those things. And the reason they do is they don't necessarily have good words to the people of how you get your salvation other than what they tell people, but it's not from the scriptures. You see, that's the thing. It's just that this is what we think it is. And of course, it's all works based here. And so, because they don't really have that assurance of salvation in the traditional Jewish community, at Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, this is their big shot, especially at Yom Kippur. This is their big shot to do something to try to tip the scales that they will possibly, when they die, be in heaven. Not only are the scales significant in our minds, but one of the symbols of Yom Kippur, and if you Google Yom Kippur and you look at the images and the pictures, you will see very often the scales, a picture of the scales, because that is one of the symbols of Yom Kippur. How is that? Well, if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. you're in. You see? And so that's not really a way of assurance, especially from the Word of God. And so as futile as it is, without Yom Kippur, or without Yeshua, it just isn't going to work. No matter how good the works are. And this is one of the things we really want our Jewish people to understand that and to know that. That it's not just about good works. As a matter of fact, it's not about good works at all. So the urgency at the time of Yom Kippur produces increased prayers, praying more often, praying during the day, especially in the Orthodox community, having services that tend to run longer, and at Yom Kippur, it's a long service, having extra prayers, extra denials in your life, along with the Yom Kippur fast, which is really commanded by God, there are these additional things like don't brush your teeth or take a shower on Yom Kippur. In other words, not only do you fast, but you shouldn't even be drinking any water, or you shouldn't even be using any water during the day. Or don't wear leather shoes. What? How will we ever find that in the scriptures? We can't, because it's not in the scriptures. But to deny yourself of wearing leather shoes or being able to brush your teeth or taking a shower in the morning on Yom Kippur. These additional things, because it's their only shot. And they feel the more good works they do, the more it's going to tip the scales. So as we counted the Omer from the days of Passover to Shavuot, we are counting down in another way to the high holidays. Let's go to our first scripture this morning, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Rav Shaul really had a handle on this whole thing, and he writes in a number of his letters concerning this topic. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. He knew what was going on. He also knew it because, let's remember, he came from the Pharisaic world, which was really starting to turn over this idea of salvation through works in that first centuries. And so he knew. It's a boastful thing. I'm doing better. I'm doing more good works than you're doing. You look at people and you look down at them because look at what I'm doing and you're not doing as much as I'm doing. So the Ephesians, he was letting them know, don't fall into that trap. That it's not about your works, it's about your faith. So we ask, does God want us to do good works? Does he want us to pray? Does he want to give charity? Does he want us to be good people? Does he want us to do good things in our lives? And the answer is absolutely. He wants us to do these things. He doesn't want us to deny certain things as a way of good works. He wants us to go out there and be good people, to be good in our communities, to be good with people, to be gentle and kind. But he reminds us, he wants us to do those things, but they're not going to give you your salvation. He wants you to do them as a person who is redeemed. Because we're supposed to be God-like and Yeshua-like. But he reminds us, but it is not by your works, it is by your faith that we have this wonderful gift of eternal life and salvation through Messiah Yeshua. You see, that's how he wanted people to put that into perspective. And so we have to understand we we do, especially here as a synagogue, as a Messianic synagogue, we do certain customs and rituals, and we do things that have been part of Judaism for ages and ages. We do things that Yeshua did in the first century. We do things that will go back as far as Moses, maybe even Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We do things. We do these things that some people look as works because they are customary things. Are we required to do them? Absolutely not. But we do these things. And so we do specific things in our service and in our lives. But we must remember it's only through the blood of Yeshua that we have our salvation. And I emphasize this because I can say this every single week till I'm blue in the face, and there will still be people that leave here and they think it's important for us to do all of the things exactly this right way and do it this way and that way. Make sure we have to do it exact. Or we have to follow these things by the letter of the law, by the letter, making exact. No matter how much I emphasize, it's about the faith. It's about the acceptance of Yeshua. It's about the blood of Yeshua. All those things are works. There will still be people that leave here and they get the wrong understanding and the wrong impression. And again, like I say, if you want to get on the internet, you can find people that will agree with that. And they'll agree with you if you think that. But it doesn't mean that it's right. And so, it's only through the blood of Yeshua that we receive this wonderful, wonderful gift of salvation. And sometimes, as redeemed people, understanding, if we know that we have eternal life and we look at the world around us or friends or family that don't have eternal life yet, sometimes it produces a boastfulness or an arrogance that we can have because we start looking at everyone else and, in a sense, looking at them and pointing a finger. I have eternal life and you don't have eternal life. We should be looking at them with compassion and understanding and trying to get them to understand it. It shouldn't be a matter of us comparing them, because then we will fall into the same trap that it is boasting. You see, you understand that? So we have to be aware of that also. We're dealing with people around us. We are in the world, but not of it. And so because we have to deal with people around us, we should never, ever get that attitude in our lives. And if we get that attitude in our lives, just by the very action of boastfulness, because we're doing things that other people are doing, and we're saying things that other people are saying, then that really, that's sin. And so then we fall into the category of sin just by our actions in that way. So we need to watch out for this stuff in our own lives, even as believers. And the reality is there's always room for repentance. All of us, none of us are there. None of us are perfect. And so when I say we've got this wonderful time to look inwardly and search our hearts and look inside and see where we can do things correctly. If any of us would even think, oh, I don't have to do any of that stuff. I don't need, there's no repentance that I need. There are no things that I need to change in my lives. You got a serious problem, people, because only Yeshua falls into that category. And so we all have room for repentance in our lives. And it's within that, living as believers, that each and every day we do slip, we do fall, we make bad mistakes. I know it seems impossible, but I make bad mistakes all the time. We all do this. We all slip. We all fall. We all do things that we shouldn't have done. We all get caught up in traps. We all make decisions that maybe were wrong decisions. And we all do these things, yes, as even in the redeemed world. But that's reality. That's called life. And so we all should be looking, especially at this time of the year, to see, let's get as right as we can with the Lord. Let's get as right as we can in our hearts, because we're entering into a very special time of the year. So maybe Elul is for us to refocus on repentance before these high holidays for each and every one of us. Not just for the world out there, of the unbelieving world, the unredeemed world, but it's also for us that he's calling us to do that. So each year, you know, I like to pray that the minds and the hearts are, you know, I know that, you know, I know that Jewish people, not all of them, some of them, they don't even consider the high holidays to be anything in their lives anymore. They don't even think about it. They don't even deal with it. They just go on day by day, the whole month of Tishrei, and they don't even think about that. But there are a significant part of people that think about this time of the year in Yom Kippur. And even if they're looking at Yom Kippur in a sort of a skewed way, in a way that is very rabbinic, in a way that isn't biblical, in a way that's not according to the Word of God, but they're looking still that they know there's something significant going on at Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. Their hearts and minds are tending to go in that way. And so this is a wonderful time of the year that I do pray that my friends and family, people that I know, as they're looking in that direction, some of them, that this is a wonderful time for us to pray that God will do something in their lives. God will speak to them at this point. God will take the blindness of their eyes. Maybe not totally, but just a little bit, so they can see maybe there's something out there that they should really look into that they haven't even thought about. See, because their minds and their hearts are working in that direction. So this is a wonderful time, the month of Elul, for us to also to pray about our friends and family that are out there. Because what's going on in their lives at this time, hopefully, there's a custom to read during the month of Elul. Actually, it's beginning in the month of Elul, and this is really mostly from the Orthodox community, but to read Psalm 27. Beginning in the month of Elul, read Psalm 27 every day, all the way through the end of Sukkot, from Hosanna Rabbah. From the very beginning of Elul all the way to the very last day of the high holidays. And it's this tradition of reading Psalm 27. I want to show you some of the opening verses of Psalm 27, and if you put those up, and we begin to say, really, there's something here. It's a wonderful tradition, or a custom, but really, there can be some significance in it. And so, 27, it's verse 1 and 4 I'm going to read. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Wonderful words from David. But the opening line, and this is really, I believe, why they use Psalm 27. The sages say, it says, Adonai is my light and my salvation. And they say it is speaking about, whether it is or not, I don't know, but it's a good way to visualize this thing, that when Adonai is my light, that it's relating to Rosh Hashanah. Adonai is my salvation, that it relates to Yom Kippur. And so they use this psalm and they pray this psalm every day for all of these days. Well, you know what? There is a little bit of, there's some truth here that Rosh Hashanah, there is light involved here. And we know certainly that the Lord is my light and my salvation. But here we look at Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah lights us. Rosh Hashanah ushers us. Rosh Hashanah calls us with the shofar to focus and funnel in on and in preparation for Yom Kippur 10 days later, the Day of Atonement. And so Rosh Hashanah by itself is a light to Yom Kippur. And it's a good way for us even to think about this. So here's what we have. We have this light, and this light. Elul is our light in preparation, so we would focus in as we approach Rosh Hashanah. Elul, we could look at it as our light. And we have this countdown. Rosh Hashanah is our light to Yom Kippur. And we know that God's atonement, that salvation and eternal life comes only through the light of the world, Yeshua. So there's a lot of light going on here. Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. And the thing is, as we, and we'll talk about it later on in weeks, but Sukkot is a type of a festival of light where there was a lot of light going on and there were things going on with light. And so we are beginning Elul with light, and we're going to end our high holidays with light. But throughout that whole thing, it's our, we should be looking at the most important of all of these things, that all of these things pointed to, and that is the light of the world, Yeshua. And so we are in a special time and in a special season, and it is a good time for us to prepare. Beginning with tonight, sundown, it is Elul. It's not a mandatory thing. It's not something we must do each and every day as we lead up, but it's just a good way to think about it and integrate it into our lives each and every day. And as we are always, 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 always putting our sights on the light of the world, Yeshua. And so hopefully these words will just help us a little bit as we enter into this time. We're going to have some great services this year, high holiday services, and they'll be even better if we enter into them with the right heart and with the right attitude. So let's just end in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you because, Lord, you control it all. You put the calendars together. You put the months together. You put the days together. You put the numbers together. You put the words together. You put the phrases together. You put the letters together. You put all these things together. You do things that we could not do. Man just could not do these things. But you do them, and you do them for your holy name's sake, but you do them so that we can learn from them, we can cleave from them, we could get positive things from these things, and so they will help us with our quest as we draw closer and closer to you and to Yeshua. And so we just thank you, Lord, because not only are you the creator of all things, but you are the wonderful coordinator of all these things, and you have done them not just for yourself, but you have done them for our good, that we would use them each and every day of our lives. We thank you, Father, for this season that we're coming up on, Lord. We pray that it's going to be a wonderful season. Hearts are going to be changed. Hearts are going to be turning to you, Lord. Eyes will be open. Ears will be ear. Blindness will be taken away, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. And we praise you, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.